What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Contract talks between Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals remain at an impasse, and Cincinnati is listening to trade offers for their four-time Pro Bowl defensive end. Right now, Hendrickson remains with the team. They got a game tonight in Washington. He is on that trip. The sides have been in agreement for several weeks on the big numbers, the years and the money, but the Bengals to this point have been unwilling to do what they did for Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, which is give guarantees beyond the 2025 season. Back before the draft, the Bengals had an offer on the table that was a second-round pick and change. At that time, they weren't willing to engage with that. They wanted a first-rounder. My understanding is that the price has softened or at least changed a little bit. At this point, the Bengals would want a player, somebody who maybe could even replace some of the production they got from Trey Hendrickson, as well as a pick in the 2026 draft.
So, could the Bills do that? Listen, it's been 3 hours, I think, since AJ Epenesa was traded, but... Mm-hmm. But on the show, I mean, like everybody calls in and trades Epenesa every day. That's a player you could send back and replace some of the production. And I mean, some you're talking fractional, but you know, Epenesa and a what? The offers at the draft were a second and change. I wonder if the Bills were offering a second and change.
Yeah,
the Bills had,
but now
picks, right? They had 2 seconds. The Bills had 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Were they offering Cincinnati, hey, give you a second-round pick for that guy? Probably not, because at the draft, they also would have needed to find the room to get that done.
And at that point, they would have already signed everybody except for, like, Elijah Moore.
And Cook. But yeah, like...
Right, but Cook doesn't affect this year.
Right, not this cap. In fact, he gave them room. You wonder if they had called Cincinnati and been told, under no circumstance will we trade him to you, which is why you go for Joey Bosa. Like, maybe the call is made... Mm-hmm. Much earlier in the year, because Hendrickson, this has been going on for a while.
Two years.
I'm sure it's no secret. So, anyway, there's Hendrickson from Tom Pelissero. Jeremy and Joe, you want to do Cincinnati? We got 14 teams in 14 days. We'll check in with each Bills opponent. A little bit of a preview. We talked to Joe Goodberry maybe a week or two ago. So, you know, that conversation about the Bengals kind of fits into this 14 teams in 14 days, which is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Get a Northtown Engine Shield engine protection warranty on new and used vehicles. Cincinnati. They play tonight.
They play tonight against the Commanders. I think that's on ESPN.
It's the holdout bowl. The hold-in bowl. I'd seen some progress for Terry McLaurin that he's going to start practicing again.
He's been activated off the PUP list, but he doesn't have a contract yet.
I wonder if that's the James Cook track. Hey, let's get you back to practice, and we'll get back to the table. So we'll see about that.
But otherwise, I mean, the Bengals camp is that they didn't have Shamar Stewart at the beginning, and he's looked good, I guess, since returning.
Mm-hmm.
Athletic freak, didn't produce almost anything at college, but he's athletically like almost a 10.0 on the RAS score. But without Hendrickson there, I mean, new D coordinator also, Al Golden. They brought him in from Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a change. But the personnel and the roster still doesn't look strong at all for Cincinnati. So, yeah, the story for them is that, one, Hendrickson is not there, and this has been going on forever, and it doesn't seem like a resolution's anywhere close. And then they're playing Burrow in the preseason. So, like, let's see if they could shed the, hey, we stink in week one thing that they've been going through for 5 years, or maybe the entire time Burrow and Zach Taylor have been there.
Didn't he already do that?
By what?
Playing in the first preseason game and playing great.
Well, no, but they have to actually go and do it. Like,
right.
Like, but I mean, they're trying a different strategy, but they have this reputation, which is backed up with how they've played, for being terrible in week one.
Right,
and is it they're telling everyone through their actions they think it's because they don't play in the preseason.
That's right. And he threw 5 interceptions in a game against the Steelers to open the season 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And last year they lost to
New England
in their opener.
And this year they have Cleveland. It's on the road at Cleveland. Okay. If they lose to Cleveland, what are they going to be favored by in that game? I mean, I'm sure, actually, I know it's out. I don't know it off the top of my head.
The Bengals?
But they're going to be a huge favorite in that game.
I bet in I'm going to guess.
All right.
I bet the Bengals in Cleveland. By the way, the Browns are going to announce their starter
this week.
This week.
Yeah. And it's going to be Flacco, I think. Sanders hasn't been healthy.
Okay.
And Gabriel hasn't been healthy.
And
Pickett, I haven't heard a word about all summer.
I'm sorry, but if it's Joe Flacco, it's an absolute embarrassment.
Like, Flacco, they haven't even been playing. Like, they've been resting him in the preseason.
I mean, I guess you have to try to win games, but...
Why is it an embarrassment?
Because it's Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Because he came back for you, was it 2 years ago?
2 years ago, and he made one comeback play of the year, which is the most absurd award ever given out.
And also turned the ball over a lot, and it was kind of like a joke 2 years ago, and you're back on it?
Yeah.
Man. Absolutely wild. Okay. Before we get back to calls here,
did you guess the line, by the way?
The line on Bengals-Browns. The Bengals are at the Browns. The line is 7.5.
7.5. Oh, look, it's actually not up. Hold on. I'll find it somewhere else. Why would it not be up? Hendrickson? That can't possibly be right.
No, it'll be up. It maybe because the Browns don't have their starter named.
All right, 7.5 you're guessing?
Yeah.
At DraftKings Sportsbook, the Bengals are favored by 10.
Okay.
On the road by 10.
So that's your Bengals preview for you. I want to get to something I arrived at on the Chiefs for you.
After watching Chiefs Kingdom, like you, of course you did.
Yeah, right. No, I just looked at the schedule. I looked at their schedule, and I looked at the Bills' schedule. The reason to look at the Chiefs' schedule was the news on Rashee Rice not likely to be suspended until at least September 30th.
Right.
Which means he will play or be available for Chargers, Eagles, Giants, Ravens.
Okay.
Three tough games. If he's suspended very soon after, that's Jaguars, Lions, Raiders, Commanders, Bills before their bye week.
Okay.
So what I was getting to, Joe, was simply this. The Bills and the Chiefs, on their first 8 games, the Bills' first 8 games and the Chiefs' first 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and Howard picks the Bills, but for the purposes of this, let's do it really quickly.
Sure.
You want to give them a loss to the Ravens to be conservative?
Sure.
Let's even do that.
Okay.
Jets.
Win.
Dolphins,
win.
Saints,
win.
Patriots,
win.
Falcons,
win.
Panthers.
Win.
So conservatively, if you want to even give them one more.
Conservatively, 7-1.
Give them one more loss. That's 6-1 because they have a bye week.
All right, yeah.
But 6-1, possibly 7-0, possibly 5-2.
Five and two seems like, fine.
Right.
5-2 is like almost a little bit of a disappointment.
Okay. Now do the Chiefs up to that exact game.
Okay.
Chargers,
win.
Eagles,
loss.
Giants,
win.
Ravens,
loss.
Jaguars,
win.
Lions,
loss.
Raiders,
win.
Commanders, whatever you want.
Loss.
What I'm getting at is, then they come here on November 2nd. I laid this out on Friday. How much would you feel comfortable saying that game, while it won't be for the one seed, will be for, we're not going to have to go to Arrowhead?
I feel like that is definitely...
If the Bills are...
That's definitely how their season should play out.
Yes. Bills are 6-1 going into that game, and the Chiefs are 7-2. Fine. Win that
game.
And
that's giving them a lot of credit.
That's right.
7-2 with
win
that schedule.
Win that game, and I don't know if you'll be home for the entire playoffs, but you would have a stranglehold on, at least we're not going to go there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I feel like we're going to be here on November 2nd in pregame saying, all right, win, and you can pretty much cross off a trip to Arrowhead. If just on strength of schedule, the season kind of plays out in those first 8-9 weeks the way that it looks like it will.
Yeah, which is good because that will give that game extra meaning, which I think will be needed.
Yes.
Beyond the, you beat the Chiefs in the regular season again. Congratulations.
Right.
Like, everything that about that game will get said in that tone. But if you have, because it's amazing, It's amazing the Bills have beaten the Chiefs in all of these regular seasons, and only one time have they not had to go to Arrowhead, right? It's never been, hey, you always go to Arrowhead because you can't beat them. It's been, you always go to Arrowhead because you mess it up in other games.
Yeah.
And this year, their schedules are looking like that. That can't happen this year. This cannot be a year where you're going on the road to Kansas City with their division being what it is, with the Bills' division being what it is, and what their schedules look like. Cannot have a worse regular season record than them. It's part of why I don't really, I can totally see a scenario where they don't have to play the Chiefs at all. Because I think their road is tougher. And I think them getting through it is going to be a lot harder than it's been in past years. Not being the one seed, not getting the AFC South winner in round two. I think that might be more than just, I would hope, of course, that's more than just, hey, you don't have to go to Arrowhead in the playoffs. It's, let me really throw their season into, you are fighting with Denver.
Yeah.
Let me put you down there. I'm good in my division, and I'm fighting with Baltimore for the one seed. I'll handle that. But go ahead. Have fun with the Broncos. See if you can hold them off.
803-0550. One other quick note, one of them mentioned here. So the Browns have signed rookie receiver Isaiah Bond.
Okay.
3 years, $3 million, fully guaranteed.
Okay. Here are the Browns, all these fully guaranteed contracts.
Well,
huh?
Why'd they give Isaiah Bond $3 million fully guaranteed? Because he's a free agent. He right. didn't get drafted.
Right, so he can...
So he gets a $53,000 signing bonus and fully guaranteed base salaries the next 3 years. He went undrafted after being accused of sexual assault in April. A grand jury no-billed the case last week, and Bond is in Cleveland. And one thing I wonder, were the Bills going to consider it? Would they ever have considered it? They met with him everywhere. In the pre-draft. He was all over their board. Had to be. Why do you meet with somebody five, six times?
Mm.
Not because you're not interested. So Bond would have been a potential target. Mm. He doesn't get drafted. He's available last week. He signs with the Browns, 3 years, fully guaranteed $3
million.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe the case... Maybe Bean doesn't want to, like, let's just not go there. They did their due diligence. Mm-hmm. They don't like what they came out with. Who knows? Maybe in the six visits, they took him off their board. Or maybe, up until right now, they would have thought, well, if we do it, who are we getting rid of? More? You have to create cap space. Not much.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It's like 1 million.
Well, to put him on the roster. Because that's kind of what Cleveland just did.
Right. Put him on the roster.
Because it's not just, hey, we bring him in and Wilkerson goes away.
Right.
We bring him in and he's expected to make the roster.
He takes Moore's job or Shaver's job or...
It could be Moore. Moore is the post-draft ad. And if they had met... They met all those times with Isaiah Bond. If he had no legal trouble at all, whatever happened there doesn't happen, then he gets drafted in what? Day two?
The second or third round.
And if the Bills were the team to do that, they are not signing Elijah Moore.
No way.
There's no chance.
In fact, there's a lot of things different if they draft that guy.
A lot of things are different. so at that point, I think
No one calls us Jerry and Joe.
No, they've drafted a receiver in the second round. So Moore, I think, is kind of, in a weird way, his replacement.
Yeah.
So with him here...
Well, that's
and getting guaranteed money this season, I don't really see how they would coexist.
But what I'm asking is, the case gets no billed.
Yeah.
Which is not exactly the same as, like, he was cleared. It's not going to move forward.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you know, whatever. I'm not
You know why? Because Judkins the one who got it like thrown out? Whatever. The Browns have a bunch of different things going on.
And anytime something like this happens, thrown out, toss any term you want on it. It doesn't always mean that cleared of wrongdoing. So without dipping too far into those waters.
Correct.
All I want to say is if the Bills were confident, good on this, clean on this, yesterday, would they have been sitting there thinking, man, we can't. We wish we could. We kind of can't. We're kind of strung up at that position now. We don't have the space. If they had not signed more,
how hard?
Then they might have the space. I'm not.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm not here to second guess the Moore signing just because they needed the help and he's here. But this is a player in Bond that they were all over in the pre-draft process.
I guess I would ask them if they were still wondering about him. If you thought he was a second or third round guy, how much of a lift really would it be to do what? Clear one spot and add $1 million per year? Or is it $3 million total or $3 million
per million year? $3
million total. Okay, so like I'm adding $1 million per year.
Sure. To me, it's not about the space. It's about what it would say.
I think if you thought he was a second round guy, you'd just cut Elijah Moore. If you think he's that good, maybe they didn't though. Maybe they thought he was a fourth round guy. Maybe they thought he was a fifth round guy. But if they thought he was a second round guy, you say goodbye to Elijah
Moore. His cap hit this year, Isaiah Bonds, is $857,000.
That'd be like saying right now I wouldn't trade Elijah Moore for a second round pick and eat the dead cap, which I think is absurd. If a team called you today and said, "We'll give you a second round pick for Elijah Moore," you go, sure.
Right.
We'll do that. But I don't know that they had Bond rated that high. Maybe they thought he was a fifth round guy.
They just met with him every day.
Well, maybe all the other receivers they met with were day three guys, right?
That's right. Torrey Horton, Isaac Teslai, a lot of those.
And that was his Bond. That was only his projected. Last year, Troy Franklin was projected as like an early second round guy. He went in the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
So that can happen.
I just wonder if they would have had a conversation about him right now as he signs his three-year, $3 million deal.
It's also possible these teams, they said this with Hairston, right? Like, they do their own due diligence, whatever, on all those situations. It's possible that while Bond got whatever, you know, what was the term again?
No build.
He might have got that no build, but maybe the Bills did their own due diligence and said, yeah, we don't like what we see here. So even though he might escape league discipline, yeah, we're not comfortable with it.
Right.
And the Browns right now are a team that looks like very comfortable doing a lot of things.
Nothing makes them uncomfortable, right, the Browns. CJ in Buffalo is up. Hey, CJ, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I don't know if you talked about it this morning already. I just tuned in. But is it me or does Elijah Moore look, I guess, for lack of a better term, underwhelming? I say that, and then you guys talk about other receivers, and I think Shavers in the preseason looks phenomenal. It's just the price that they paid for Elijah Moore in comparison to Shavers. I honestly mm-hmm. want to think that he's going to stay on the team. I don't know what Brandon Bean thinks or how they feel about the cap or how much they have invested in this year, but I view it as you can't take games off. Yes, it's preseason. No, one game does not dictate exactly what kind of player you are, but you can't take games off. Can you imagine a regular season if Shakir, not that he did it on purpose, but he took a game off? Just like last night, I just can't see Elijah Moore doing that. You can't catch a pass from Mike White. What do you think you're going to catch from Josh Allen? It's going to be a rocket. So he dropped a screen yesterday, and my brain was like, what is happening? You're a little player. We expect you to catch those passes.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it is though, for me, it's one play in a preseason. And sure, maybe Shavers has looked better camp and preseason all the way through. But you're right, like they are – at the salary cap, and what would Shavers make on the team? $1 million? More you have to pay no matter what. So you would cost yourself, Shavers has to be $1 million better than Elijah Moore. And has that been true? And does it even matter? Because Moore, like at some point I do want to care more, I think, about what they've done before. Shavers is a undrafted guy that probably has a limited ceiling. In college, even, he didn't put up crazy numbers. And Elijah Moore, again, a lot of this is like what I thought of him coming into the league. I loved him coming into the league. And I think there are some numbers that point to there's actually a decent player in there. And I'd want to see that out still. I'd still want to explore that in the games that matter, not Mike White's throwing the ball a little bit low and he dropped it and we're playing the Bears in August.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking of I'm on metaphors here, I guess. You know what I'd like to be? Not bailing water at that position all the time. But I do think they're better than they were last year. And
as we said earlier, the guys that matter are Palmer and Coleman. Right.
My latest evaluation of the wide receiver position is it will go as either Palmer or Coleman goes. Shakir will be good. Kincaid will be good. The backs will be important. If you want that position to be good, it's probably Palmer or Coleman that makes the difference. You've kind of laid out, Joe, what are the chances I'm going to watch Tyrell Shavers put up big numbers this year or be involved heavily in these games? And it might not be all that likely. Could Moore? Sure. If he's in the middle of the field, the Bills could throw there a lot and get him. But to how big of a difference would he be than Shavers? In the same scenario that you kind of laid out, like, what, am I going to watch the season and see Elijah Moore with 100 catches?
Not 100, but, I mean,
100 targets?
I thought that the possibility of him catching 50 passes is possible. And for Shavers, I'm not saying it's likely, but I think that's in there. And for Shavers, I don't even think there's a shot. If he's on your team, he's at best doing what Matt Collins did for you, which is blocking and doing the dirty work and
lead you in touchdowns
with five, right? Right, maybe he does that, and he's catching 300 yards. Like, that is a huge win. Whereas with Moore, I just feel like there is more. There's more in there. The best case scenario for him is, sure, maybe Coleman isn't taking the step that we thought, or maybe Palmer isn't as good as they thought, and, oh, well, we have this guy here who's a good separator, and he caught 40 passes for me.
Just to give you a little context here, Isaiah Bond gets more guaranteed money than every single pick after round two.
Wow.
But
so that's the Browns valuing him at a second round price, basically.
But all the third rounders make more cash through 2 years. One of the things that works for Bond here is it's a 3-year deal. Like, if Bond shows up and plays great in year one, year two, they're talking extension. Again, that's a long ways away. But he's a speedster
we had guests on to talk about him in the pre-draft process.
Yeah.
Maybe one guest.
We at least talked to Zach about him.
It might have just been Zach.
It might have just been
off air, honestly. I did say earlier, by the way, that like that Moore screen yesterday they dropped would have gone for like 2 yards. That might have been. I just rewatched it. He might have got like 15. So it would have been a play.
Dinner, private workout, pro day.
This is the Bills
Bond
with Bond.
Yeah. Let me pull up the full list. Zoom meeting, like they did everything with Bond. He was on the list of multiple visits. So he's in Cleveland now with the Browns. Yeah. Combine, dinner, pro day, private workout, and top 30 visit.
Speedster. Would have liked that speed on their offense somewhere.
803-0550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe getting in about the Bills. 38-0 shellacking at the hands of the Bears. It was a rough one. It's a rough one. Caleb Williams looked good. Good for him. And Ben Johnson, like, good for them.
You said you hate the Luther Bird in 87. How do we feel about Williams wearing 18 still?
It's fine. Peyton Manning wore 18. It's fine.
I think I wish he was taller to wear 18.
Yeah. I mean, Burden
should. A little short for 18.
Burden should be wearing a number like 10.
10?
Yeah. 10, 11.
But don't you want him to win 87 back for the wide receivers?
I don't think we can wrestle it away from the tight ends.
I think it's over?
I don't think 87 can be.
I mean, the two best tight ends ever wore it.
Right. Gronk and Kelsey. So, it's over. We can't win. Listen.
You would need Burden to be like a 2,000-yard receiver. Yeah.
We can't get 87 back from the tight ends. That belongs to the tight ends. If you have a phone call to throw our way, we're wide open on the other side. 803-0550 on WGR.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.